Hope so. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, tonight's conversation is about revoking conversions. As you all know, we are giving the shiurim about Geirus because there was a terrible episode in D.C., and the result of that episode was that people started talking a lot about conversion, and we decided if we're talking about it, let's learn about it. That was basically the impetus for the shiurim. One of the first topics that came up with the Geirus in D.C. was that people said, oh my gosh, right? Many of the converts said, oh my gosh, are they going to now say that I'm not Jewish? And you have to recognize how serious of a problem that is. Right? If you are someone who converted to Judaism through a certain rabbi in D.C. who we really want to leave nameless, you converted to Judaism, and then this rabbi turns out to be a slime bag, I think is a pretty low-level expression. It's an understatement. So does that mean I'm not Jewish? Now, on the one hand, I could make a case that, listen, you know, if the rabbi is someone who's not halachically observant, which he wasn't, obviously, so such a person who's not halachically observant might be pasul la'edus, and if you're pasul la'edus, you're pasul as a dayan. And therefore, I could hear a serious case being made to say that all of the geirus that he did were invalid. Now, obviously, the RCA Besdin came out with a statement pretty soon after to say, no, all of the geirus that were done were kosher, they were okay, zarg zechnisht, don't worry, everything is going to be okay. But this, of course, forces us to have a conversation about under which circumstances can I revoke geirus. Now, this conversation can be had in two different ways. We can have this conversation from the perspective of the convert, meaning, can the convert, there is a shmua out there, there are reports out there that people say, I remember a young convert saying to me at one point that she was really, really worried that she's going to convert to Judaism and at some point maybe she would wear pants out in public and someone would decide that she's not Jewish. So I said, no, you don't have to worry about that. I don't think that could happen. But can it happen? Wait, could you imagine someone saying that the non-observance of a ger makes them not Jewish? I could hear such a case, especially because the essence of geirus, essence of conversion to Judaism, is kabbalas ol mitzvos. And if I'm going to prove that so-and-so is not keeping Torah and mitzvos, so then maybe the geirus isn't good. Now, of course, you can't really say that, no? The Gemara has expressions about a ger shechazar l'suro. Let's say you have a convert who returned to his or her bad previous ways. So the Gemara says a ger shechazar l'suro is a Jew, no? Once you're converted, you're Jewish. And if you decide then to become an observant Roman Catholic, you're a Jew who is observing Roman Catholicism, which basically means you are a very, 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 very bad Jew. Right? But, right, the question that we have to ask is, what are the parameters of this? Both from the perspective of the convert and from the perspective of the Beis Din, under which circumstances, when and how and if can we say conversion is revoked? Now, this issue became a huge cause celeb in Israel in the year 2007-2008. Okay, let us just give you the story. You know that there are many Russian Jews who moved to Israel, correct?
Yes.
The Russian Jews moved to Israel, and this created like a big social problem because you have people who are claiming to be Jewish, who say that they are Jewish, who made it to Israel because they self-identified as Jews. And to self-identify as a Jew for many years in the former Soviet Union, by the way, was something that you would get beaten up for. It wasn't good. But from a strict halachic perspective, in some of these cases there were questions. Many of these cases there were questions. Are they Jewish? Are they not Jewish? So the state of Israel, facing this big problem, they, through the Rabbanut, they established a series of Batei Din L'Gi'ur under the auspices of Rav Chaim Drukman. Rav Drukman was the head of the Yeshivot B'nai Akiva. He's a Talmud Chacham. He was overseeing these Batei Din L'Gi'ur. Now, the Batei Din L'Gi'ur in Israel were meant to do conversions en masse. For those of you who are Philistines, en masse means large groups. Right, Dashiell? Am I translating it well?
In a large group at a time.
They're doing many, many conversions. Now, ordinarily, like when we convert somebody, obviously you want to get to know the person and feel out how sincere they are, etc. Get a sense of whether their Kabbalah's or mitzvahs is sincere or not. But in this case, we're under very serious pressure. The pressure is that these people are in Israel. They want to convert to Judaism. They want to serve in the army. They want to be full members of the Jewish state. Right? Lots of pressure going on. And the Batei Din L'Gi'ur effectively, by doing a quote-unquote quickie conversions, I think in the last election, you know how Israeli elections get really nasty sometimes? So one of the ads I saw on YouTube basically had like some people standing under the chuppah, and then the Rav is about to be Masadar Kedushin, and he looks at her and he says, oh, I can't get them married. So he basically sends a fax to so-and-so, and he gets a document faxed back in a second, she is Jewish, now let's get married. Right? And this was Shas's ad attacking, I forget which party.
Yeah.
Right? Israeli ads are known for their...
they're brawlers.
Yeah. Well, Israelis are... whatever. Yeah. Whatever. It's on tape, so I have to be careful, right? There might be someone in Israel listening. But they are. Israelis are. Adkan. Now, the fact is, these quickie conversions, obviously, right, had to be done from a national perspective, and they had to be done relatively quickly. But when we look at the standards for geirus that are usually employed, they didn't meet them. And then what happened was, there was a young woman who went through one of these conversions, and she appears in a Bet Din in Ashdod to get a get from her husband. Meaning, she's already been married to a Jewish guy, right? She comes to the Bet Din in Ashdod to get a get. The Bet Din in Ashdod, the Bet Din HaEzori, the local regional Bet Din Paskins, that, you know what, young woman? You don't need a get. You're free! Gevaldik! Scream right! Now, this isn't like suddenly this great kula to solve all the aguna issues. What they were saying is that young woman, we're sorry, but you're not really Jewish. Because you were converted in one of these quickie conversions through Rav Drukman's system, we don't recognize you. Now, what happens when a Bet Din makes such a decision? So there is protest. And there are... and you go up the ladder. In Israel, you have an institution called a Bet Din Le'irurim, which is an appeals court, no? In Batei Din in America, appeals courts are rare. The Bet Din of America does have an appeal system. It's almost never used. That, like, if the plaintiff or the defendant in the Din Torah feel that the ruling of the Bet Din wasn't proper, so they, in writing, can submit a letter to the Av Bet Din, to Rabbi Gedalia Schwartz, or to Rabbi Mordechai Willig, the assistant Av Bet Din, who can review the case. That's the appeals process the Bet Din of America has. In Israel, obviously, there are many more cases. And there's an established Bet Din Le'irurim. So it comes to the Bet Din Le'irurim that they say, you know what? Is she really not Jewish? And this became a whole fight. Rav Avraham Sherman, who's the Av Bet Din of Tel Aviv, who is the one of the members of this Bet Din Le'irurim, wrote a lengthy, and by lengthy I mean like 200 pages.
Holy God.
That's big. Right? I remember Rabbi Michal Zilberman from the Bezin of America, I asked me if I read the decision. So I said around like a page or two. And again, I'm at a stage in life, I don't have patience. And I'm at a stage in life, I don't have time. And, you know, just for curiosity, I'm not going to read 200 pages. It was massive. It's like, you know, you're killing trees with this decision. Right? So Rav Avram Sherman wrote a psak that the gayrus are no good. Now, obviously, this psak is not only about this one woman. This psak is calling into question all of the gayrus done by Rav Drukman, which are thousands and thousands of Russians. So this is a social disaster, no? So the opponents of Rav Sherman on that Bet Din were Rav Duchovsky, uh-huh. Right? Rav Shlomo Duchovsky, paskin that the Geirus is good, and Rav Ezra Batsri, paskin the Geirus is good. In a different case, there was a Rav David Bass also who got involved and said that the Geirus is good, and ultimately the Betin Hagadol Eir Urim upheld, they maintained the Geirus that was done by these Rav Drukman Bate Din for Geirus. But our job tonight is not necessarily to come down with a conclusion, but to give an overview of the issues. So let's learn Torah. Ready? First source that we have is that there is a requirement of Kabbalas o mitzvos. Ko in yoni hager, bein lehodiyo ha-mitzvos le-kablam, bein hamila, bein ha-tvila tzachyur, b'gimo, k'sherim ladunu b'yom. That all aspects of geirus, mila, tvila, and kabbalas o mitzvos, have to be done with three people who are kosher ladun, and it has to be done during the day. That's point one. Meaning to say, there's a requirement for kabbalas o mitzvos, and there's a requirement that the dayanim have to be kosher. Fine. Right, the Gemara Bechoros, for some reason, this doesn't really make it to Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara Bechoros says that if a ger accepts all the mitzvos with the exception of Davar Echad, with the exception of one detail, so you don't accept that ger. Now, the big issue that came up, the classical issue in Poskim, which we addressed in the Shiurim probably 6 or 7 weeks ago, was, one second, what does it mean that I accept everything besides one thing? There are two ways of understanding that, no? I could understand that what that means is I say explicitly, I am hereby not accepting the prohibition of Gevinas Akum. I plan on eating non-Jewish cheese. I'm going to eat Kraft cheese. Okay? Is Kraft kosher now? I don't think so.
Hey, it comes with cream cheese.
Huh?
Cream cheese.
I don't know.
But
whatever it is, I think we're getting off topic. But the fact is, if I decide I'm accepting all mitzvos besides one thing, besides Gevinas Akum, so the halacha is, I'm not Jewish, right? That's what the Gemara says. Even Diktu Kecha Midivrei Sofrim, right? Gevinas Akum is Derabanan, I'm not Jewish. But does that mean that I say I'm accepting everything besides Gevinas Akum? Or, what about if it's a situation where I accept things, but everybody knows that you don't really mean it? For example, right, one of the prohibitions, which is a Torah prohibition, is that a Kohen is not supposed to marry a Giyores. Right? Again, it might be a din d'rabbanan, it might be a din d'oraisa, but a kohen should not marry a giyoret. Let's say you have a woman who's converting to Judaism, and she wants to marry her boyfriend, who happens to be of the Aaronic priestly sect. So what happens? What happens? Is that, right? They're not saying explicitly, I am not going to accept it. Rather, implicitly, right, we know, come on, what, you're going to accept the prohibition of marrying, right, a Kohen, right, assuming it goes both man and woman, prohibition goes both ways, right, you can accept that prohibition, what do you mean, we know you're going to marry him, like, what's going on here, right? You're not explicitly saying it. So this was a big topic of conversation. Many assumed, or I should say it like this. The mainstream opinion is, mainstream to the tune of Tshuvas of Rav Moshe Feinstein, Tshuvas of the Beis Yitzchak Rav Yitzchak Shmelkes, a comment of Rav Soloveitchik, most poskim felt that if you know for sure someone will not fulfill a particular mitzvah, and by not fulfilling a mitzvah, I don't mean like what we spoke about in the shiur a few months ago, that I'm going to end up slipping up one time and saying Lashon Hara that the rabbi's speech wasn't particularly good this week. I mean, right, that philosophically not accepting a particular mitzvah. So most assume that such geirus is not good geirus. But there were dissenting opinions, no? Reb David Tzvi Hafman, the Melamed Lahoel. I give you his tshuva at the bottom of page 1, moving over to page 2. Right? Reb David Tzvi Hafman points out the tshuva on a case precisely like this. Here, look at the case at the bottom of page 1. Kohen Nasa Nachris Bitzipelhe. Kohen married a Goyisha woman in the ceremony, and they have a child, and the child is circumcised, and the child died, and now this non-Jewish woman feels that maybe the child died because she wasn't Jewish, and she's all depressed about this, and she wants to convert to Judaism, and she wants to marry the Kohen. Can I do this conversion? The Dotsi Hoffman is asked. He's a Kohen. She's going to be a Gioris, right? Now, the Dotsi Hoffman deals with like the triage question. What's worse? He's married to her anyway. Is it worse to be married to a non-Jewish? Or is it worse to do the conversion and have him violate the prohibition, right, of marrying a convert? Nebuch, right? But this is real life. So, Reb David Tzvi Hafman is Mekel. Reb David Tzvi Hafman, towards the end of this tshuva, Reb David Tzvi Hafman says, you know what, he thinks that maybe you don't have to... Here, look at it, it's the fourth line from the top of page 2. If she says explicitly, I do not want to accept this mitzvah, then you can't accept her. She's not saying explicitly, I do not want this mitzvah. Since she did not say explicitly, I will not accept this. We know, but we know that's not enough. We have a principle in halacha of devarim shebelev, einam devarim. Stuff that I'm thinking in my heart, right? That's nothing. Devarim shebelev. You were thinking, right? Einam devarim. A guy, the Gemara Kedushin, Daf Mem Tes, I buy a field, or I shouldn't say it like that. I should say it like this. I sell my house because I plan on making aliyah. Kimtze gain, nefesh benefesh doesn't accept me. I can't make aliyah. So then I go to the guy who bought the house, and I say, listen, Shmerel, give me my house back. I never meant to sell it to you. Do you know what Shmerel does? He says, gay five and ashrasinyam, who bist du? What if I koif dem shtub? No. Shmuel's obviously speaking Yiddish. I bought the house already. Get lost. Gay five and ashrasinyam. Get out of here. What are you doing? Right? Why does he say that to me? Because, what? You're telling me that you know you're only selling because you want to make aliyah? How do I know what you know? Like, it's in your mind. Like, I'm a mind reader. Dvarim shebelev, einam dvarim. However, Tysus points out there in Kedushin Mem Tes, interestingly, Tysus says in Kedushin Daf Mem Tes, that even though Devarim Shebelev Einam Devarim, but if you have something that is believed by Ubelev Kol Adam, let's say you have something that Yeder Einer Vaced, right? One of my goals, as I mentioned, is to teach all of you Yiddish, that everybody knows. If everybody knows that X, Y, and Z is true, everybody knows, for example, that you're only selling because you're moving to Israel, right? Everybody knows, pick it. So in that situation, that's not Devarim Shebelev. Yes, Devarim Shebelev is basically a way of saying that we don't know. We don't know what you're really thinking. But if we do know, so many Mefarshim, many Poskim, feel that what Reb David Tzvi Hafman is saying over here is not correct. Reb David Tzvi Hafman is saying, oh, well, she didn't say explicitly, I'm not going to keep the mitzvah. But come on! What?
But everybody knows.
And therefore, many poskim, or most poskim, feel that if there's an Anan Sahadi, and look at Rav Moshe Feinstein's tshuva, Simon Kuf Nun Zayin, Rav Moshe Feinstein says this same idea, that if we know, right, af im amar befiv shemekaba hamitzvos, right, the third line, even the guy says that I am accepting mitzvos, but if im Anan Sahadi she'enu mekaba olav be'emes, eino klum. If we know for sure that you're not sincere, that you're not really accepting mitzvahs, so it's nothing. And that, I think, is the consensus of Poskim, that we have to know that you're really accepting mitzvahs. So it comes along the problem. You have somebody who is in a program for quickie conversions, and we know for sure that you're not really going to accept mitzvahs. When the rabbis ask you questions, right, will you keep Shabbos? The answer is, of course I'll keep Shabbos. Yeah. By the way, it's not only an Israeli issue. It could happen in the States also, no? That you have a Bezin sitting on the case. We have someone... how do you dress when you come to the Gairus interview? You dress, like, as religiously as you possibly can. Will you keep Shabbos? Of course I'll keep Shabbos. Intelligent people. Yeah, keep kosher. Sure. How many sets of dishes? 47. And, like, you give a whole drasha. Why do you need 47 sets of dishes? Everything. And the rabbi is sitting there, they're so impressed by your frumkeit. Okay? But, right, it ain't. You're not answering correctly. You're lying to the Beis Din. Most poskim would say that the gairus is not good. So let's go slowly. Yeah?
Just a second. I want to clarify. Okay, you're lying and the base knows, you just make it explicit, or you're lying...
So there are two ways of saying this. Some cases you're lying and the Bezin knows you're lying. Other cases the Bezin doesn't really know, and perhaps there's a difference between those cases. Right? Now, if the Bezin knows that you're lying, so it's probably incumbent on the Bezin to not accept you. Right? That would, I think, cast serious doubt on the Bezin as a Bezin. No? That's called Din Meruma. If I paskin in the Din Torah based on incorrect information, they're lying to me, and I know they're lying to me. I catch them in the lie. By paskin, based on that information, know what we say? The batei din, the tolar is kaloi, right, the kolar is taloi be savare hadayonim. Right, that the judges themselves are, right, the judges themselves are going to be in violation. They're doing something that's wrong.
Now, the critique of
Rebbe Tzvi Hoffman is talking about a case that we know for sure that you are not accepting Yiddishkeit seriously, but, right, but you say you are, or you never say explicitly that you will not keep it. So if David Zvi Hoffman says, we take you at word value, face value, whatever you said, that's what counts. That is one critique, because there's an umdina demuchach, we know that you're not really sincere. And most poskim don't accept the David Zvi Hoffman. Now, yeah, but yeah.
How about those Russian conversions, were they from conversions?
The Dayanim were from.
Jewishly as we understand it.
I mean, it's supposed to be. Again, an Orthodox Beis Din is converting people. The assumption is that there's Kabbalah's own mitzvahs, and you're going to keep all the mitzvahs. Now, I think the issue that you're raising is as follows. The world that we live in, and this is a point that Rav Moshe Feinstein makes in the different tshuva. A lot of these tshuvas are very long. But Rav Moshe, in the different tshuva, makes a point. He says, in a time that the world was observant, either you're an observant Jew or you're an observant person of a different faith, so when you convert, you see that the people around me are keeping halacha, and you're converting into a system where you think that this is what you gotta do. It's the only option. But in today's world, one thing that we know is that there's not only one option. At least people think that there are many different options. So the rabbis tell them, we want you to convert to Judaism and keep Shabbos and keep kosher and make sure all of the myriad halachos. And the people say, you know, the rabbis are saying that, and it's probably a nice thing to do. But let's be honest. Look at the way the neighbor keeps Judaism. Right? Let's be honest. With the Avol Neinu, you walk down the street in Israel, how much Shmiras HaMitzvos is there? The majority of Israelis are not keeping Shabbos. Right? Buses are running in so many of the cities. They're not keeping kosher to... Again, because of the Rabbanut, actually, they are keeping kosher on a very basic level, certainly. But, you know, if they ask them questions about the observance of Shabbos, the people think, yeah, Shabbos is a nice thing. It's like a hider mitzvah, you know? It's like we think about, I don't know, like having a beautiful esrog. It's a nice thing. But is it a strict requirement? People don't recognize that's a strict requirement.
So they assume everything is a chumrah.
They think everything is a chumrah.
Right.
That doesn't mean they think it's a bad thing to do. When in the conversion process, they probably learn more about Judaism than they would know otherwise. Right? It's very likely that the people who are converting to Judaism through these but they didn't for Giyur in Israel are more knowledgeable than the average secular Israeli, just because they've been exposed to courses in Jewish law. But at the same time, they don't recognize that it's really binding. So what the hell does that play out? In other words, one could argue that if I say I am not accepting something that I recognize as a real requirement, so that invalidates the Geirus. And even if I don't say explicitly that I'm not accepting it, even if we just have an umdana demuchach, we know that you're not going to keep it. But we know the thing that you're not going to keep is something that is a requirement. But in a situation that people think that all there is to Judaism is marching in the Israel Day Parade and giving to the UJA. By the way, I love the UJA. Don't get me wrong. I grew up with this, right? But if people think, if people think that the only thing to Judaism is Israel Day Parade and UJA, and they keep it, so can't one argue that that is a full Kabbalah's all mitzvos? Because all the real mitzvos that are binding from the perspective of the world they live in. Now, this argument...
You can't use the heter of
Tinak Shemishbo. So the Gemara has a case of someone, of a Ger Sheniskayer Bein Hanachrim, who doesn't know about Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Samaches. What does that mean? That means, I'm not sure, not sure exactly, but the kulas in the Geira situation might come from this type of idea, that A, we have Reb David Tzvi Hoffman, B, we have this notion that the only thing, that you're as Jewish as all the people around you, C, there are some poskim, albeit a very minority opinion, who assume that you don't really need a full Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. Remember, the Rambam writes that the Jewish people became Gerim through Mila Tefillah Hartzas Domim. And absent from that Rambam, Perek Yud Gimel, is the term Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. Now, yeah, the Rambam mentions Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs in Hilchos Melachim, and the Rambam mentions it elsewhere. But in the actual place, in the location of real Geris, the Rambam doesn't mention Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. So the Mishpatei Uziel, Chief Rabbi Ben Sion Chai Uziel, was very makel on Geiris. He felt that even if there's no real Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs, if someone just wants to join the Jewish people, that's good enough. Now, we don't paskin like any of these opinions, no? The consent, again, how halacha works is really part of this. Halacha does not work that I can find one posek who says this and that's good enough. Least common denominator halacha is not halacha, right? Halacha works by the consensus of poskim. Now, consensus means like the majority view. Right? Rov poskim. So the majority of poskim are against this malam and hol. Majority of poskim against this Rebbe Chai Uziel. Yeah?
But the case that
they
did, the whole, there was a woman and he martyred the marriage?
He martyred it, yeah.
He had children, but everyone else had chosen out of the Jews?
What?
My focus is real, like on a scholarly level. But there was real people.
There's real people involved, that's right. Reb David Zvi Hoffman would say they did it and these kids would be Jewish. And the other Rabbanim would say, Rabbi Hoffman, you're a really fine fellow, you're the rector of a wonderful rabbinic seminary, but the kids are not going to be Jewish. That's right. Right, in other words, Reb Moshe is like the Rav HaPoskim, that's right. Now, the issue, though, is as follows. There are two ways of dissecting this question. I'll say it like this. One way of dissecting the question is to say, I, as a rabbi, will only be megayer people if they meet a very high standard. But do I check your tzitzis? Do I say, okay, another bezin did this geiris, and even though it's not up to my standards, but they have poskim, that other business relying on Rebbe Nissim Chai Uziel and the Melamed Lehoel, I didn't do it. I didn't get my hands dirty. Once they did it, I'm going to say it's okay. This question, right, is saying, do we assume that these gevurim are possible even b'di'eved, even once they were done by another Bezdin? Now, in Rabbi Jachter's article about this question, it's in RGJ volume 62, Rabbi Jachter argues that Moshe Feinstein in the few chuvas said that it might be acceptable b'di'eved. Even though he himself wouldn't do it, b'di'eved it would be done. There was a case in Winnipeg. Okay, the case in Winnipeg was something to the effect of, that there was a fellow who came for conversion, and the Beis Din saw that he was circumcised already, and they did a tevila. They did not do a hatafas dambris. Usually when someone is already circumcised, they make a little mark, they take some blood out, hatafas dambris. The Beis Din did not do that. This fellow was never observant. Was never observant, but it was converted by an Orthodox rabbi. Moshe writes in that tshuva, I'm not sure, you use the word rabbi, not rav, does that mean he's conservative? If it's conservative, Moshe felt that conservative conversions are definitely no good. You should know that Rabbi Wurzberger told me that Rav Soloveitchik felt that conservative conversions are not automatically no good, and when someone came to the rav who had previously been converted through a conservative bezdin, he would convert them again without a bracha. When I had a student in my shir whose mother had been converted by a conservative bezdin, we converted them again without a bracha. But there's a bracha on Lomolas Hager Lahatif Mandam Bris, and there's a bracha on the Tevila also. We did it without a bracha in those cases because we felt that it was a suffik and suffik brachos lahakel. Based on the Psak of Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Moshe felt that conservative conversions are definitely no good. That was Rav Moshe's approach. But Rav Moshe, what? Rav Moshe would say a bracha, yeah. But Rav Moshe felt that in this one case, since there is a possibility that the rabbi who converted them was relying on the one sheet and Rishonim, that once you're circumcised, you don't need Hatafas Dambris. And maybe the rabbis converting them was relying on those mako positions regarding the Kabbalahs or Mitzvahs, etc. So Rav Moshe sounded like, if not for other doubts in that case, he would have accepted the Geirus. So that's Rabbi Jachter's argument, that what Rav Moshe is saying is, I won't do it myself. I don't know why rabbis do it, Rav Moshe says, like you have to have standards. But once it was done, we're not going to invalidate it. That is Rabbi Jachter's approach to this conversion issue. Now, I'm not sure. If you read enough Igros Moshes, I'm not sure if Moshe would really say that. I don't know. The motion has like half a line in that one, Shuvah Chelakim Wavanez or Simen Dalid. There's like half a line that he throws in. I'm not convinced that a motion would really say the Geiris would be valid without a full Kabbalah Sol Mitzvah, but I'm not sure. It's hard for me to believe that if I'm an Am Haaretz, but if I'm a Rav Moshe Feinstein and I'm a person of real positions, and someone is converting based on other positions, how tolerant am I going to be? They say, maybe you're right. What do you mean, maybe you're right? I, Rav Moshe Feinstein, thought through these sugyas carefully, and I think that you need Y, and you didn't do Y, therefore it ain't no good. Right? Or, that's bad English, but you understand the point. So, I'm not sure, but that was Rabbi Jachter's argument. Rav Duchovsky, however, the opponent of Rav Sherman, had a different argument why he felt the Geiris was good. And his argument goes something like this. Rav Duchovsky says, anyone who's ever been present at a Geiris recognizes that this is a moment of great emotion. It's great. It feels like Ni'ilah. It really does. Says Rav Duchovsky, maybe at the moment that the person went into the mikvah and they said, I am accepting the 613 mitzvahs, they really meant it! The next Shabbos, they already violate? That doesn't prove that there was a lack of sincerity at the original moment. They meant it! Now, when Rav Sherman heard this argument, Rav Sherman is like, are you out of your cotton picking mind? Right? Rav Sherman says, but you're separating that one moment in time. You have people who have been irreligious their whole lives until now, right? Irreligious, secular, right? And then they remain irreligious. And you can tell me at one moment, maybe they were sincere, and based on that, you're going to say the Geiris is good? That's Rav Sherman's argument. How can you separate that moment? Rav Duchovsky says, Yup. Now, there is something to it. It's, to my mind, this argument is not so meshuggah. People really take ceremony very seriously. And they mean it. And you know what? My guess would be that if they don't keep that first Shabbos after Geiris, this is tutvei. It bothers them. Maybe by Shabbos number 3 it doesn't bother them already. But by Shabbos number 1, if they're not going to keep it, I don't know. It seems to me like there is an argument. Now, Rav Duchovsky goes a little bit further. He says as follows. What is one of the sources from where we derive Geiris? So, Maimed Har Sinai, Jewish people standing literally at the foot of the mountain. Kaf Alein Har Kigigis, God, right? It has the mountain, right, on top of us, right? We accept the Torah, Nasa V'Nishma, beautiful. And we learn many of the halachos of Geiris from Maimed Har Sinai. The Gemara in Yevamos Memvav, that we just finished Yevamos and Daf Yomi, the Gemara says that, beautiful. Okay, now let's go slowly. Let's go slowly. At Maimed Har Sinai, were the Jewish people really sincere to accept Torah and mitzvahs? I hope so. Even though there was a bit of coercion involved, but we assume that we were sincere. There's a mountain hanging over their head. It's a little bit, right? There's good reason why they sort of have to accept it. But at the same time, they accepted it. Right? They accepted it. But there's a lashon in the Medrash, says Rav Duchovsky. Look at this Yalkut Shemoni in Tehillim. Matzinu kishah Yisrael omdim al har Sinai bikshu lignuv das elyon. When the Jewish people are at Har Sinai, they are deceiving God. Shenema kol shediber Hashem nasa v'nishma. They say, we're going to do whatever God says. Kiv yachol amar lo, miyitim v'hoye levavim zelahem. So God says, yeah, halavai, they should really mean it. Shelo tomer ein hakol goleifonim. Don't say that things are not or revealed to God. Tam loma v'fatu b'fihem. Afal pikim b'hu racho michapir ofon. And God forgave us. Meaning, even at Har Sinai, the Medrash says, the Jewish people are like deceiving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Remember, how long was it after Maimed Har Sinai, before Chet HaEgel?
40 days?
Yeah.
Not so long. And Chet HaEgel is a big one. Right? That means, according to this medrash, that they were not fully sincere, but they said the right thing. That might mean the first approach that we said. If you say it, this sounds almost like Reb David Chaim Hoffman. You say the right things, it's good enough. Now, this of course, though, does raise a problem. Even though we derived many halachos of geirus from Maimon Har Sinai, we have to recognize that the geirus at Maimon Har Sinai was different than every other geirus. Let me just mention the Maharal of Prague's argument. We have a halacha that geirshin eskayer is kikatan shenol adomi. When I convert, so I lose all of my connection to my parents from beforehand. Right? My parents and my biological parents are no longer my parents in the halachic sense. A convert is like born again. Right? That's the expression, George W. Bush. Whatever. We might not have liked him as a president, but he was born again. Or, right? The fact is, right, people use these expressions. Born again. Now, one second. Does that mean if we learn Geirus from Maimon Har Sinai that we don't have a connection to the Avos? Does that mean that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are not our fathers anymore? Because Gershon is guy could cut and Shinola dummy? Because, like, we convert. So, obviously, we're not going to say that at Maimon Har Sinai, no? The Maral of Prague says that you see that the Geirus of Maimon Har Sinai isn't the same type of Geirus elsewhere. So, one could argue that perhaps there are differences, even in this respect, in terms of the Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvos as well. I think it's a point that's worth thinking about. Now, Rav Duchovsky felt that the Geirus is reliable because of, at the moment when they accepted it, they were sincere. Rav Sherman again feels that you can't isolate that one moment in time from everything else. Then they had a bit of a discussion about a halacha that appears in Choshen Mishpat called Bezdin Basar Bezdin Lo Daiki. Right, the Sma in Choshen Mishpat quotes in Simin Yotes, he quotes in the Darkim Moshe B'Shem Shuvas Shabesov Seva Chazeh HaTenufa, who says that Reuven and Shimon who come Ledin V'yotza Echa Mehem Zakai, Reuven and Shimon have a court case and Reuven wins V'Shuv Chazar Baldino U'Tavo B'Fnei Bezdin Acher, then Shimon says, you know what, I lost. Right? Let's go to a different court. Ein zakkul leiri moladim v'lo lahashval tana. So you don't have to respond to him. V'gam ein habezin reshayim l'shmo advar of klal. Bezin can't listen to the case a second time because bezin basa bezin lo daiki. Now the basic halacha is that a bezin can't inspect and investigate what a previous bezin did. It sounds like what they would call in Latin stare decisis. The decision remains. Nothing to talk about. However, the tshuvas of the Mabit in the Pesach Tshuva over here quotes from the Radvaz that even though we say Bezin Besen Bezdin Lo Daiki, that we're not, that's based on Lo Chayshin and the Bezdin Toen. We don't think that Bezin is making a mistake. We don't think Bezin is making a mistake. But Hanimili Bismanehim Abo Ha'idna. Today, so we do investigate, we do inspect what a previous Bezdin did. Really, we know that our Bati Din are not so knowledgeable. So a second Bezdin can look into what a first Bezdin did. Comes along Rav Sherman, he said, you're telling me that the decision of the original Bezdin has to stand because Bezdin, Basadez, and Lodaiki? No! Pesach Tshuva quotes in the Radvaz that today the our Bati Din are not knowledgeable, so a second Bezdin can look into the previous Bezdin. This was part of the Machlokes. Do we assume that the original decision has to stand? Rav Moshe Sternbach has a different approach that we'll talk about for a moment, and then we'll close. Until now, we've been saying that maybe the Geirus is no good, because we know for sure that the convert was not sincere. Rav Moshe Sternbach turns the argument on its head. He says as follows. Since the halacha is, based on most poskim, that you're not allowed to convert someone who has anything less than full commitment to Yiddishkeit. So any Bezdin who wants to convert someone with anything less than 100% Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvos, that Bezdin is doing something against Halacha, making that Bezdin Rishayim, meaning that they do not comprise a halachically valid Bezdin, and without a Bezdin, the Geirus is no good. Right? Got that? That's like using a many different thumbs. But look at Rav Moshe Sternbach's tshuva. Okay? Same case, right? Where the case is that a chassan comes to shul and he has a full beard and payas. That basically means that, you know, he looks like an Orthodox Jew. And everyone says about how religious he is, he even goes to the mikveh every day. And then when they asked him about his conversion, he said that he went to one of these, you know, quickie batei din for a conversion. So the question is, maybe it doesn't help at all. Says Rav Moshe Sternbach, why not? V'tam ha-davar she-geritzach bezdin she-mishbek sivbe. V'elu ha-dayonim heim risha'im rachmana latzlan. These dayonim are wicked, evil people. They are meharisim u-machrivim kedushas am Yisrael u-mevi'im aleinu charoin av Hashem chas v'shalom. And they cause the wrath of God to come. And how can they be dayonim who are... How can you have dayonim who are rishon? Obviously, they're pasul adon. Now, very questionable. This line of argument. Am I a rasha because I follow a different shita in poskim? Let's say they genuinely feel that Rav Uziel is correct. Or the Malama. That doesn't make me a rasha. I'm not a rasha if I follow... Right? If I'm higia lahora'a. If I'm someone who already can pass in the Shaila, and I follow, again, I have certain weird positions myself. Right? People know this about me. I have like a couple of weird quirks in the way, you know. I do stuff, my bayim do stuff a little bit different than some other people. Does that mean that because of chveis, you know, I don't make a bracha on halon and Rosh Chodesh, I'm not following the majority position among poskim, that makes me a rasha? Is that what it means? Unlikely, I think. I hope not. Right? What does it mean? Like, let's say, you know, let's even assume that, let's say most poskim would assume that an Eruv from Washington Heights is no good. And let's say your rebellion feel that an Eruv from Washington Heights is good. Right? Does that make you a Rasha? Maybe, perhaps. I don't think so.
Moshe has a very beferish truth on that. Very beferish in the West Side.
Right? Moshe has some strong truths. But if I have my Rebbeim who disagree with Rav Moshe.
He was asked if someone. Rabbi Young asked him the Shaila.
Right.
If someone received a psak from someone who's royal of Ra, that he can be.
So mechan
air. On the West Side Eruv.
So Rav Moshe said.
And you consider him a Poshe Yisroel.
Right.
That was the Shaila, right?
And what did Rav Moshe answer?
Rav Moshe answered, even though I vehemently disagree with it, if he got the truth, he got the psak from someone who's royal or raw, so you can't call him a Rosher.
Right. So that's what Rav Moshe says 100%.
You're
familiar with Rav Moshe also wrote a Haskama. On Moskowitz's book Tikkun Eruv in Manhattan, and he writes in the Haskama, even though I disagree with all the conclusions in this book, but it's based on sound halachic reasoning, you're not a Rasha. So where Rav Moshe Sternbach is saying over here is very difficult, that the Dayan who paskins like the Makel positions is by definition considered a Rasha. That I think is a very difficult position. Unfortunately, some of the Batei Din in Eretz Yisrael follow this. There was an episode that I was tangentially involved with, that somebody in Eretz Yisrael, whose mother converted with a prominent rabbi, was told by a particular Beis Din that any geirus that's done by rabbonim who don't have a beard is invalid.
Rabbi Riskin doesn't
have a
beard. What? Rabbi Riskin doesn't
have a beard. Rabbi Shefa didn't have one
either. Right? So... this is, again, once we're at that level. Now, again, can I make a case that you become a Russian because you don't have a beard? Maybe I can make such a technique. But there's certainly a poskim who assume that you're allowed to shave. You can't ignore that reality. And what? So that you don't have a beard, you're puzzled. But Eidus, you're puzzled with that Yonah saying. And then every Gairus is no good. It's so difficult. So hard to hear. These are some of the main problems. It seems to me, that I can't get involved in terms of whether these quickie court geirus and Eretz Yisrael are good or not. That's mufla mimeni. That's too big. But the argument to passel it based on the dayanim being rishonim and assuming that any geirus done in chutz la'aretz by definition means that you're a rasha if you don't have beer, I can't in good conscience believe that. Let me take two or three questions. A few people who are here to meet me orally. We'll just go around here.
Once you're in, you're in.
We could talk about that, but once you're in, you're in. Yeah, David and then Chasen
Hess. What is the RCA's position, the base time of America's position, the RCA based position on these conversions? Does it come up? Have they had to
decide? I don't know. Yeah.
So if someone underwent Gaius and a few weeks later he dropped the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Is the Gerus possible to Matreya?
No, we paskin that that's the concept of Ger Shechazal Asuro. If I'm a Ger, I converted seriously, and then I decide to change, so I'm a Yisrael Shata. I'm a Jew who's doing all the Averis.
You can still include him in a minion?
Technically, assuming, yes. Assuming that you include Rishayim in the minion.
Suppose he becomes a Jew.
A Jew who does Averis is a Jew. Yisrael. Yisrael. Again, I thank you for coming and listening. These are obviously a big topic. Next week, maybe we'll continue with this a bit more. Thank you for coming. Have a good night.